Thanks, Jason and Tom. Thank you for that. You'll find an outline about where we're going with the talk now, and the Bible passages there as well. Hopefully that will be helpful as we go. But let's pray that God will give us insight into his word as we do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful way that you use it and you call us to preach it. And so we pray, Lord, on this very special day that you would help me to make it clear, that you'd be with us and give us understanding and insight into it for the sake of your name. Amen. A couple of years ago, the Student Field Experience of Committee of the Presbyterian Church of Victoria in the college, they called me up and they asked me if I would be a trainer for one of their new students that they had. And I thought that would be a good idea. You know, I could come alongside some young buck and catch up and chat theology and ministry, teach him all that I knew, a good way to help the next generation. That's what I was thinking. But then they said, this one's a little different. His name is Ray, and he's a bit older than you. And I thought, okay. Actually, they said, he's been in ministry for twice as long as you. He was a missionary in Africa. He's been married for longer than you. He has more kids than you. He's worked in more denominations than you. He's likely cleverer than you, more humble than you. He knows more about church history and theology than you. He's probably a better preacher than you too. Suddenly I'm thinking, how in the world can I be his trainer then? Or what have I got that he doesn't? And they said, well, you're more Presbyterian than him. That's about it. That is about it. That's not as big a compliment as they were thinking. More Presbyterian than Ray is like saying you've got more teeth than a Collingwood supporter. It's not a great compliment, but he'll take it. Over the next year or so, Ray and I caught up fortnightly so that he may be Presbyterianised. Not sure I succeeded all that well, though. And most of the time I spent learning from him rather than teaching him all that much. We chatted ministry philosophy, read through the Westminster Confession, prayed together, talked through sermon ideas, read through the code. I loved it and found it really valuable. And also realised that Ray's love for Reformed theology makes him more Presbyterian than understanding the code book ever could. When Ray asked me to preach on 2 Timothy for this ordination induction service, based on the devotions we did before each session meeting that I moderated, my mind immediately went to our passage today, 2 Timothy 4, particularly the three key words in verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. Now, in some ways, encouraging Ray to preach the word is kind of like encouraging a fish to swim. It's built for it, it loves it, and it needs little encouragement to do it. But as a way of not only encouraging Ray, but the whole congregation here, for what is to be Ray's chief concern as the soon-to-be ordained and inducted minister here, we're going to take just a few minutes to reflect on Paul's profound encouragement to Timothy here. These are some of the Apostle Paul's final words that he ever wrote in the weeks or days before his death, focusing Timothy on the most important topics at hand. Bible's open, if they're not already, 2 Timothy 4. We're going to look at 5 short but important reflections here, all around the idea of preach the word. Preach the word in view of Christ's return. Preach the word in every season you face. Preach the word in knowledge, truth, and patience. Preach the word while people are still listening, and preach the word even when it's hard. 5 things. Let's go. 1, preach the word in view of Christ's return. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Now, Paul starts by focusing us on just how solemn and weighty this charge is. It is delivered in the presence of the ones who gave it to him, the ones who the word is all about, the ones who created the world and rule over it now. It's in the presence of God and his Christ, the ones who we are in the presence of now, and the same ones who are entrusting this ministry to Ray now too. This is serious business. And if the seriousness hasn't sunk in, We then read that Christ is not only ruling over our world now, but he's also the same one who will come back to judge the living and the dead, coming in both judgment and salvation, and will soon come to consummate his kingdom, a kingdom that will last for eternity. Now, this charge, it's all couched in end-time language, focusing us on what will matter on that day then, and so living in light of that day now. The point is, the context here for this charge, it couldn't be any more weighty. What's the charge? Preach the word. In view of Christ's return, preach the word. Ray, as a preacher here, you are a herald of the King, not of yourself. It is not your message you need to preach, but his message that is given for you. It's the word of God breathed out by him and now spoken through you, his servant. A message not of good advice, but a message of good news. You are a herald of his word, his scriptures, which at the heart speak of the gospel message, the message of a holy but gracious Creator God who sends his loved and perfect Son into our fallen world to live and to die and to rise again as a substitute for unholy sinners, so that all who put their faith in him would find perfect freedom, forgiveness, life, joy, peace, and restored relationship with him forever. It's a message of good news. This is your chief task, to share this message in your new formal role here. And there are many other things that can seek to take your attention away from this, even good things. The congregation, there may be things you might prefer Ray doing at times. So hear this today and remember it for tomorrow. His chief task here will always be to preach the word. By doing so, Christ builds his church in number and maturity. In view of Christ's return, preach the word. That's our first point. Secondly, preach the word in every season you face. Verse 2, be prepared in season and out of season. Now, as a plumber, Ray, you experience both the joys and the frustrations of the changing seasons in life. Digging trenches in the sun-baked hard soil, or dealing with mud up to your knees in the wet, or frostbitten fingers in the cold. Whatever the weather, you know you need to just get on with the job, which is the truth in ministry too. Always being ready in all circumstances, all seasons, for opportunities to preach the word. Night and day, to congregations, to small groups, to one-on-one, with people who love Jesus and with people who don't. Now, these opportunities come when you're looking for them, and they sometimes come when you're not looking for them. But either way, you have to be ready to speak. Are words of life to ears that will hear. Press the word home on all occasions. Preach it clearly, both when it's convenient and when it's not, when you're feeling it and when you're not. The gospel words you will speak are words of life and death. There are no more important words than you will ever say, and no more important words for your hearers to hear. So don't get complacent. Don't get lazy. Be ready. Or in plumber speak, don't be a drip. Keep digging into the soil of people's hearts, plumbing the depths of God's word. Make sure it's never boring. Never muddy the waters of the gospel, but guide the pipes of living water. Make sure the septic... No, I haven't got it. I've lost it there. Okay. Put simply, get on the tools and get going. Yeah. In every season you face, preach the word. Thirdly, preach the word in knowledge, truth, and patience. Verse 2. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. To be able to preach the word well, you not only have to exegete the text, but exegete your people to, not execute, exegete your people to. And doing the hard pastoral work of knowing them and understanding them, that so you can tailor the word to the people that God has given you to love. When you know your people, you can know how best to correct, how to rebuke, and how to encourage them. Correcting by confronting and exposing unhelpful ideas and ideologies, theologies, with the truth of God's word. Now, this is so growth in wisdom and knowledge and fruitfulness and faithfulness and godliness can take place. Rebuking by warning sinners solemnly as the under-shepherd who cares for them, refusing to allow sin to go unchecked and for people to live comfortably in it. And so make sure you afflict the comfortable, but equally make sure you comfort the afflicted, to encourage by reassuring the downhearted, the doubting with the gospel truths, comforting the fearful, spurring on the slack. Now, the manner that you do this as well is of utmost importance. We read it's to be done with great patience and careful instruction if it's ever to be effective. Ray, you and I know both well that it's just as we are slow to learn and grow, those under our care are the same. The need for patience is ironically one of the slowest lessons we learn in ministry. We often see quick change and growth, but God's timing is rarely ours. So we need to wait patiently for God's word to achieve its purposes. So keep pressing on with preaching the word boldly, prayerfully, patiently, carefully, knowing that God is in the business of changing both the congregation and you as the preacher each time you speak. God's word, through the power of the Spirit, that's what ultimately does the work. So preach it carefully, relevantly, and be patient for God to do his work through it. Knowledge of people, truth of the message, and ever-increasing patience, preach the word. Fourth, preach the word while people are still listening. Verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, preaching the word is urgent and important because those listening will not always be willing to listen. We sadly all know of people who were once keen confessing Christians who have since left churches that preached the word because it wasn't scratching their itching ears. They didn't hear the gospel as good news, but instead as outdated and problematic. So instead, they exchanged the truths of Scripture for cheap and worthless substitutes, ones that simply address their immediate felt needs rather than their eternal spiritual needs. Listening, instead of first listening humbly to the word taught and then responding submissively to the God who speaks through his preachers, they instead first decided what they wanted to hear, then went to find people who would teach it to them, confirming them in the comfort of their own sin. God's objective truths are quickly replaced by worldly subjective speculations which hold no eternal value at all. We know of people who have wandered like this. We know of whole churches and denominations that have embraced this, even in our own town here. Which is more reason, even more reason, for the word of God to go out from this church, to ring out from this pulpit to people who haven't closed their ears off to God's word yet. While people are still listening, preach the word. And finally, preach the word even when it's hard. Verse 5, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. There's a great verse to put on your wall at home, Ray. It's a good summary of the whole passage. When others are unstable and the church is going through crises, you are to keep your head. Don't allow yourself to panic, Ray, but continue to trust and to continue in self-control, knowing that there is no need to panic when the sovereign God has called you and placed you in this church for his purposes. He will achieve his goals. Do not stress. Keep your head. When the ministry is hard and you feel like giving up, when your faithful preaching and teaching come up against opposition, push through. Endure hardship. And John Calvin once wrote that no man is fit to preach the gospel save only he who is armed to suffer. Ray, remember you are signing up to suffer, just like every other faithful preacher before you, so endure it through God's strength, not your own. When you feel like no one's listening, keep doing the work of an evangelist. Share the gospel. Let the word do the work. God's word is his chosen tool to melt hard hearts and to transform people from the inside out. Never underestimate its power. Keep sharing it boldly. And finally, remember the gospel work is never done. While God keeps you here, there is work for you to do. So discharge all the duties of your ministry. Hold nothing back in your preaching and teaching. Correct, rebuke, and encourage in pastoral care. Keep the gospel central, and in humility, model its effective truths through whatever difficulties life throws at you. Even when it's hard, preach the word. Ray, God's got you here for this time and for these people. So persevere to the end, knowing that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And you will know that every struggle and hardship will have been worth it. Preach the word, brother. Preach the word. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this special day, we thank you for raising up Ray for the task of ministry. Help him to always preach it in view of Christ's return, in every season he faces, in knowledge and truth and patience, while people are still listening and even when it's hard. Thank you that you have provided a beautiful gospel for him to preach, one that is powerful and effective for change and transformation. Thank you that the gospel not only changes the hearers, but the preachers themselves. And so we ask that as Ray fulfills his duties here, that you would be growing and maturing him to be a man after your own heart. Grow him in his love for you and your word. Grow him in his love and care for his wife, Pip. Grow him in his love and care for his children. Grow him in his love and care for the congregation. I thank you for the many years that you've been preparing Ray for this task. Help him to be faithful and fruitful and effective. Help him to work hard, but also, Lord, help him to not sacrifice his family on the altar of ministry. Give him effective rest, joy with them, and time to fulfill his duties to them too. We praise you, Lord, for the great gifts for ministry that you have blessed him with, for his love for your word, his keen insights into our culture, his humble personality, and the courage of his convictions. Help him to continue to develop these gifts for your glory alone. We praise you today, Lord, for calling him here to Warragul Presbyterian, and we ask that the congregation would continue to be blessed by his ministry to them. And we praise you for their backing of him. Help the session and board to encourage him and support him well. Please continue providing for him and the family everything they need in Christ to do the job you've given them to do here. Help him to always see you as the God whom nothing else compares to and the God whom he can trust in everything. Use him to share the wonderful news of the gospel till his life's end, and help him to do all this through your strength that so powerfully works in him, that he would look to you and entrust himself to you in every aspect of his future here and beyond. And we pray this for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.